Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 1st of September, recording at 6:36 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first, the stock markets. We had pre-brisk performance in most of the Asian indices today, and that was partly in response to the generally good dynamics that they've been showing since mid-August. And also, a minor influence, I suspect, would have been the Dow's late rally yesterday. Now, that also led to some short covering and buying in the European markets in here today. And Wall Street got off to a reasonable start, but most of that has faded. And the culprit is a very familiar one terms of this action, and that's the price of crude oil. Now, I have put up a price of crude oil today, but as I speak, it is $43.67, and that's up $1.55. And remember, I mentioned yesterday that crude oil had come back down to the initial support, just in those in that low 40 region, and that's a spot in NYME, as I mentioned previously. Now, I've devoted my entire comment of the day here just to a discussion of this stock market situation and what might actually develop, and I'm not going to repeat the whole thing here in the audio because I'm about to go on to a review of the charts. But the basic gist of it is that I really do feel that we've got at least a 50-50 chance that we will see meaningful rally by a number of the stock markets around the world. But if we're going to get that, it's going to occur against the background of a steadier performance by Wall Street, which would unleash the markets that are already straining at the leash, or at least firming up. Now, those are mostly emerging Asian markets, and while I've illustrated Asian markets, I will continue in the next few days with a number of others, because, for instance, another interesting area, I think, for the duration of this secular bear market on Wall Street, at least, always subject to timing, will be Eastern European markets, and then some of the South American markets, and then just flat-out commodity producers such as Russia. But so I'll be continuing with this review using those beautiful new candlestick charts for this particular review, months shown on a monthly and weekly basis, that are coming from the new Investors Intelligence global website. That, as I mentioned, is a companion service to Fuller Money. And it is, of course, all coming from the StockCube Research Limited stable. Now, I did mention in the text that if people click on those charts online, you will see a much better picture than if you print them off, and that's largely because of the color delineation, which is lost when the graphs are printed off. Now, before I go on and review those actual charts, I'll just make a few other comments on other markets here, because those of you who are very, very familiar with chart reading will not need to listen to my review of that. So what else is going on in here today? Well, the big item I've already covered, which is that bounce in the price of crude oil, and needless to say, that is a negative factor for stock markets, just as crude falling back from 48-something from mid-August down to 41-something yesterday was generally favorable for stock markets. Now, government bonds, these remain generally steady, although I notice the European bonds were down a little bit here today, but the U.S. bonds are up again today, and this really is at least in part discounting a deteriorating macro picture. Well, I put it this way, expectations for a deteriorating macro picture, and the expectations are probably right, as the high oil price and rising interest rates and the consumer debt levels that take their toll on the U.S. economy, plus the Chinese engineered slowdown, which I also mentioned yesterday. Now, I don't think we could get a really meaningful rally in stock markets without some softening in those bond markets, as people felt that perhaps they'd overdone their reassessment of the macro outlook for GDP growth. But we'll see. Now, elsewhere here today, the euro, well, I'll put it this way, the dollar's a little softer in here again today against the euro. We're seeing euro 121.97. Now, soft dollar is going to be generally favorable for those supply and elasticity trades, and one of my favorites, which I still retain a position, albeit a small position relative to what I've had from time to time, is in silver, which closed here up 1.88 cents at 683 on the December contract, but it had dipped down earlier in the day to 674. It's basically in a consolidation phase, I believe. Gold down a little bit in here, but it's been a steady performance here generally, and as long as the dollar is not rallying too strongly, I think we will see firm prices for the majority of these metals, and this includes the industrial metals, which are mostly up on the day, and certainly a weaker dollar would also be supportive to a number of the other commodity markets, which I will be discussing in more detail on Thursday or Friday. But needless to say, supply inelasticity remains my investment theme of the year, and no doubt beyond. Okay, I think that's covered the highlights here that I've noted in terms of today's action. So I'm going to switch over now to the chart review on the website, and I'll start really with Thailand, where I've clicked on the monthly chart here, and this I really do feel is important. If you have been subscribing for more than a very few months, you would have seen this chart before, or a variation of it. It's the chart that had so excited me last year, back in really from March 2003 onwards, because it's just the massive base formation that you can see there, this big multi-year base formation. And of course, it rallied very, very powerfully, got ahead of itself, and accelerated up into January, peaked, and the subsequent period, as you can see, has been a long pullback and consolidation. Now, in chart parlance from the chart seminar, does this current action represent the very lengthy first step above the base formation? Well, I believe it actually does, and this is not a bad level. If you say, what's the maximum downside that we could perhaps see with the still favorable pattern here, and maybe it would get back into the low 500s, but I think just looking at this chart, we've seen more than half of any pullback that's likely to occur. Now let's go to the weekly Thai chart. So I've closed the monthly, on up to the weekly, and here the evidence is well tentative, but you see that important low looks like it's around May or June, late May, early June, when you have the big tail, that's in that green candle that actually registered the low. Notice also, perhaps easier to take in, is the fact that Thailand's stock index has come down much, much more slowly than it went up. That's really quite important, and makes me feel that this long corrective phase is most likely to be at the first step above the base, and that we will therefore see the next significant move is more likely to be a move back up towards that high at 800 rather than a drop back to 500, let alone lower. Now, for that to take place, I think we would have to have a neutral environment on Wall Street, but it's looking interesting. Okay, I'm going to move on quickly so I don't spend too much time on these, because a lot of these are going to be fairly similar. India on a monthly basis, these are 10-year charts, incidentally, that I'm showing. Terrific amount of just underlying support there overall. I feel that there's a very good chance that we have seen the reaction lows during the consolidation. India as well, as you can see on this monthly chart, just moving up very persistently is from the second quarter of last year. Then and becoming well and truly overextended in its retest of what looks like that 2000 high. But the powerful bounce that we've seen off that low is encouraging for bulls of India, of which I remain one. This is my favorite market for the very long term. Looking at the weekly chart here again, you see the important low with that big tail on the downside. And I'm still generally firm. The support level to watch in here is this 5,000 level. So this is very much range trading at this stage, but feeling that we've seen the reaction low, again, I maintain that we're more likely to see a retest of those highs rather than the lows, subject to my other criteria that I mentioned in comment of the day. And those factors aren't hedges. It's just that at least not to me. If oil goes ballistic on the upside, it's obviously going to put stock markets under a good deal of pressure. If Wall Street were to tank, that would put most of the emerging markets, if not all of them, under pressure. But I'm currently dealing with the possibility that we're going to see Wall Street firmer than expectations are today as we get into, let's say, the second half of October, at some point in the second half of October. Now, Indonesia, and I am just bringing up the monthly chart here. again, Jakarta shows one of the biggest underlying areas of support, and it's impressive the way this market had actually broken through the previous two highs that you can see back in 1997 and also in the 1999 and it looks like early 2000 period. And I'm going to click off this now, go on to the weekly Indonesian chart, and you can see that this is showing really good relative strength compared to most other stock markets, certainly most of the Western stock markets that one could monitor, and quite a good action here in the last week on this chart, breaking up out of this rather tight trading range that we have seen. Okay, let's move on. But I've put those three first because they were the dominant, they were the leaders of last year's cycle, and therefore remain quite important. Let's look at Malaysia, which is sort of a half-developing, half-developed country market, but again, a reasonable amount of underlying support here shown on this monthly chart. I'm going to go on very quickly now, as I said, because a number of these are fairly similar, and you're beginning to get the idea, I'm sure. Looking at the weekly chart of Malaysia, notice the small upside key, not this week but last week, and that's that green outside today. It's the second but last entry on the graph, And that broke a decline of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 consecutive weeks on the downside, finding support, getting that upside dynamic bullish signal clearly well above the lows that we had seen in the spring. Okay, moving on to Hong Kong on a monthly basis. Now, this also is part developed and part emerging because this index contains a number of the mainland China companies, an increasing number of mainland Chinas, and again strong underpinnings here, and it looks to me like we've seen the reaction low in that tail that you saw back on the upside several months ago. Okay, moving on to the weekly chart of the Hong Kong Hang Seng. And again, this has been a very good performer and picking up well before the mid-August rally that we've seen from other markets, but so certainly way outperforming in the last couple of months the Western stock markets. Note also, those of you who are familiar with chart signals, note the key day, the important weekly key reversal right up at the high. That's that big red day coming off the high, that outside day when the market rose above the high of the previous week, moved below the low of the previous week, and closed below that low. That's quite an important signal. You had another a couple of downward dynamics. You can see the one in April. And another key following the low off the reaction low to date, and which looks like it was in late May, early June. And after a rallying for a month, we had downside key action, but it had no follow through. And because we'd already seen the main part of the correction, and this really remains quite firm, more likely to test the higher side than the lower side of the pattern. Again, subject to, keep saying this, but subject to those oil prices, it's a big if, and subject to Wall Street's performance. But the pattern that you're seeing clearly here is that Asia wants to go ahead. So a firmer Wall Street, I think, would encourage not only Asian investors, but Western investors in Europe and the United States, for instance, to put more money in Asia. Taiwan, which I classify very much as a developed market, lagging behind the developing Asian markets that you've seen to date, but it looks like we've seen a reaction low here after 5 months on the downside, a potentially important reaction low. I'm going to move on to the weekly on Taiwan. This is less interesting to me than the others, but the last 3 weeks have been pretty good, as you can see on this graph. Okay, moving on to Japan's second section. Covering the second section because this has so often been a leader, as you can see from this monthly chart, had a really quite spectacular performance. I'm going to go straight on to the weekly now. And a little bit steadier in here in the very short term. Japan remains my favorite developed market for the long term, but my concern about this is that it's going to be, well, a term I've sometimes used is slow burn, which needs explaining and doesn't confuse everybody, but feeling that there'll be many disappointments, many setbacks, lots of ranging activity. But Japan, by virtue of the fact that it had seen its secular bear market really from December 1989 onwards until April 28th last year, when I believe that secular bear market ended in terms of the Nikkei stock average and the Topix average, and of course the second section had been leading the move on the upside, and it's firmer than the other indices here again today. Just saying that some of those reasonably good, well, attractively valued, smaller Japanese companies remain the most interesting part of that market. Australia. Now, Australia, again, reputation as a commodity producer, and obviously it does produce a number of commodities, but it's by no means as dependent on commodity exports as it has been, or as it was 30 or 40 years ago. But this has been really a stellar performance among stock markets. You can see this steady march back up through the previous highs. It just hasn't blinked during the extensive corrections that we've seen elsewhere this year. And I don't, if a market's strong, it's telling me something. I don't try to rationalize that strength. And as long as the consistency of this monthly uptrend is maintained, I would give the upside on Australia the benefit of the doubt. And looking lastly at the weekly chart of that Australian S&P ASX 200 index, you can see that this week we've nudged up to another new high, and you can see the consistency of the step sequence uptrend that's unfolding here. It would have to take out the lows of 3 weeks ago to indicate significant pattern deterioration. And an orderly, consistent trend is a trend still in motion, so I'm happy to project Australia higher. Okay, that's my chart review. As I say, I'll put up more indices tomorrow next week, and I'll probably go on to some of the Eastern European markets when I next do an equity review. Have a very good evening.